Soft answers to tough questions, loving our enemies. Tough questions about Jesus. Some claim Jesus never existed. The claim made from time to time, religious skeptics have made outrageous claims. These are long remembered. Jebediah Porter and I went to a restaurant that had a Greek owner, and when Jeb told him that he had studied New Testament Greek, we had done this other places, and they were saying, oh, really? And then they would get into it and so on. This guy had this thing. It's funny, Jesus and 12 disciples are like Zeus and the 12 gods. He's saying, yeah, mythology's all over the place. Now, I don't know where he got the 12 gods with Zeus. Nobody talks about that. They had thousands of gods and certainly hundreds of main gods. So it was just a throwaway. I remember Emily Kopp, back when she was Emily Kopp, was going to school, and she had a schoolmate who brought that up to her. He says, I think there's no such thing as Jesus Christ. It's just made up. And she said, it just left me. I had no answer for that. And she asked me to look into it for her. Bertrand Russell, perhaps one of the most famous atheists in all of history, he was the one who was busy embracing evolution, not because it was science, but because it delivered them from the bondage of believing in a creator God. A British philosopher. In Why I Am Not a Christian, he said, I may say that one is not concerned with the historical question. Historically, it is quite doubtful whether Christ ever existed at all. And if he did, we do not know anything about him. So I'm not concerned with the historical question, which is a very difficult one. I am concerned with Christ as he appears in the Gospels. He says, I want to talk about the story, the mythology of it all, see? So my comment here is that, you know, any philosopher, or in fact any fool, may say such a thing, but no legitimate historian could. If you have any sense of history, if you have any contact by literature of history, you couldn't say this. This statement is based on a surprising ignorance of the facts. So let's take the time then to see the facts reviewed. The claim was made, the facts reviewed. Evidence of the New Testament. The New Testament itself, not as our precious Bible, but as an historical document. The New Testament is made of 27 separate documents written in the first century. This is when it was written. This cannot be reasonably disputed. They record the life of Jesus and the beginning of the Christian church covering the time 4 BC to the AD 90s. That's when it was written. All of the information that it contains actually fits the historical facts. And in these documents record eyewitness accounts. Here's one of them, 1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. He's talking about Jesus. He said, we saw him. We were with him. We are eyewitnesses. There was another contemporary historian. The evidence of a contemporary historian is the Jewish historian to the Romans, Flavius Josephus. His name was Joseph. Took the Latinized version of Josephus. He was born in AD 37, so a little after Christ, 37 years after. And he was busy writing to the Roman Empire the story of the Jews. The Jews were not like any other people. They didn't change. They wouldn't obey any rule that said worship a different god. So he wrote in Antiquities, his book Antiquities. Now there was about this time Jesus, a wise man, if it be lawful to call him a man. For he was a doer of wonderful works, a teacher of such men as received truth with pleasure. He drew over to him both many of the Jews and many of the Gentiles. He was the Christ, the Messiah, you see. And when Pilate, at the suggestion of the principal men amongst us, had condemned him to the cross, those who loved him at the first did not forsake him. For he appeared to them alive again the third day, as the divine prophets had foretold these and 10,000 other wonderful things concerning him. And the tribe of Christians, so named from him, are not extinct at this day. How wonderful to say, even to this day, so long after Josephus wrote. But there are other early historians. The longer we live, the more literature is being discovered, and the ability to read that is being worked on. Things that were just left as scraps and so on, people are investigating and finding written on there things from ancient history. So let me give you some, and if you want to jot down these names, you'll have a great store of information. The first one is Mara Bar Serapion. Bar is son of. 73 to 150 AD. He was a Syrian philosopher. Syria, just north of Israel. He wrote a letter to his son asking this question. What advantage did the Jews gain from executing their wise king? It was just after that that their kingdom was abolished. He's talking about crucifying Jesus in AD 70, about the time he was being born, the destruction of Jerusalem. Cornelius Tacitus, or Tacitus, AD 112, was a Roman historian. In his book Annals, he wrote about the reign of Nero and referred to Jesus Christ and the existence of Christians in Rome. In his book Histories, he referred to Christianity while writing about the burning of the Jerusalem temple. He's not pushing Christianity here. He was not a Christian. He's just telling what happened. It's history. Pliny the Younger, which I'm supposing means there was Pliny the Elder, but this one, in his letter to Trajan, who is the emperor, Epistles 1096, he wrote it about 112 AD. They, speaking of the Christians, were in the habit of meeting on a certain fixed day before it was light, and sang in alternate verses a hymn to Christ as to a God. The Roman historian Suetonius, writing at about 120, in his work The Lives of the 12 Caesars, Suetonius specifically, in the biography of Emperor Claudius in chapter 25, wrote, as the Jews were making constant disturbances at the instigation of Crestus, he expelled them from Rome. He expelled the Jews from Rome. This event is generally dated to around AD 49, and the name Crestus is widely thought to be a misspelling or a variant of Christus, which is the Latin spelling of Christ. The Jews and the Christians being persecuted by the Jews, Rome got fed up with it and expelled them all from Rome. Suetonius also mentions Christians more explicitly in his account of Emperor Nero, chapter 16. Punishment was inflicted on the Christians, a class of men given to a new and mischievous superstition. New and mischievous. Lucian of Samosata, 165 to 175 AD. He was a satirist, one who poked fun at what was going on. He wrote in The Passing of Peregrinus, quote, the Christians worship a man to this day, the distinguished personage who introduced their novel rites and was crucified on that account. Now, he thinks that Christian religion was a series of rites because he only knows religion. Julius Africanus, 221 AD, was an early apologist for Christianity. And when he heard wrong things, he wrote to correct them. He quoted Thallus. So here's a man, 221 AD, quoting back from someone who wrote in AD 52. This is perhaps the earliest non-Christian reference to Jesus. Africanus' argument was that this darkness, he's talking about the darkness at the crucifixion, Thallus calls, as appears to me without reason, an eclipse of the sun. So he had found this Thallus talking about the darkness that had happened at the crucifixion, and he said it was an eclipse of the sun. Now, Africanus was interested in this because he was trying to put the historical data together. He was trying to say, when did this happen, and what point in the calendar did it happen? So, we can go back and find when a solar eclipse happened. But he says, I don't think he knew what he was talking about. Origen gave us a lot of trouble in the early days. He decided to come up with his own list of approved books of the Bible, and he didn't like some and liked others. So he's not a true Christian in the sense of receiving the things of God. His dates 185 to 253. He quoted two early historians. He quoted Phlegon of Tralles, who was writing back in 137, a Greek writer. Phlegon, he says, records that during the reign of Tiberius Caesar, at full moon, there was a complete eclipse of the sun from the sixth hour to the ninth. He also quoted Celsus, 175 AD, a philosopher who criticized Christianity, and he quotes him, Jesus had come from a village in Judea and was the son of a poor Jewess. She gave birth to Jesus, a bastard, meaning he didn't have a legitimate father. Now, these references, all of these that I've mentioned, are especially valuable to us because they come from outside the Christian tradition. They're offering independent attestations to Jesus' existence and the early Christian movement. So there is actually the people who talk about Jesus never existing are talking about the mythification of Christianity, that it was simply a myth. Let me take you to the conclusion. All of these references are not little-known sources of history. There are some far more less-known things that I've come across. One of them I was thrilled to read was they picked up obscure scrolls and things that talked about the city of Tarsus and gave us a great deal of information, which incidentally then gave us a lot of information about where Paul was born. So it's not like we pulled these out from underneath a rock just before these people could ever find it. If they were interested, if they were actual historians, they would know these references. So it is therefore absurd to claim that Jesus never existed. This is just an absurdity. We know more about the life of Jesus than just about any other figure in ancient world. His birth, his life, his death are revealed in much more detail than the most ancient figures whose existence is taken for granted by historians. We hardly know anything about, say, Socrates, who also walked along with his disciples and talked and reasoned and so on. But, all we know is what Plato wrote about him. Let me introduce a man, Roderick Dunkerley. He was born July 20th, 1884, lived to May 6, 1966. He was an English congregational minister, a Christian writer, a hymn composer, whose work spanned theology, devotional literature, writing to encourage people to love the Lord, and social commentary, that the world wasn't doing what they should. He took it upon himself to investigate the evidence of the life of Jesus from contemporary sources. Contemporary means living at the same time of Jesus. From contemporary sources other than the New Testament. And he wrote his conclusion in a book called Beyond the Gospels, and was published, that was in 1957, and he published by Penguin Books. I used to buy a lot of Penguin Books. Had historical fiction. Here's what he wrote. Here's what he concluded. In none of these various testimonies to the fact of Christ is there any slightest hint or idea that he was not a real historical person. As we saw, the quotes from these historians, they weren't doubting that he existed. It was obvious he existed. It made a big splash on the world stage. He goes on, indeed, it has been argued, and I think very rightly, that myth theories of the beginnings of Christianity are modern speculative hypotheses. Hypothesis is just a theory you come up with, motivated by unreasoning prejudice and dislike. They don't like Christ. They don't like Christianity. And so they go back and reread history with a blind eye. He now quotes, it would never enter anyone's head, says, and this is Dmitri Sergeyevich Merezhkovsky. I know him well. No. He was 1866 to 1941. He says, it would never enter anyone's head to ask whether Jesus had lived unless before asking the question, the mind had been darkened by the wish that he had not lived. There are two more modern writers, both of them still alive, last I checked. Craig A. Evans, born January 21st, 1952. Stephen J. Bedard, born November 20th, 1968. Craig Evans is a respected New Testament scholar. He wrote in his article, Mythicism, well, this is that theory that Jesus didn't exist, and the public Jesus of history, contrast between the two. He says this, arguments for the non-existence of the Jesus of history stumble over the public nature of much of the primary evidence. Jesus was observed by crowds of people, by friends and foes alike. The enemies took note of him. Stephen J. Bedard wrote in his Methodological Problems with the Jesus Myth Hypothesis. Catchy title. This Jesus Myth Hypothesis is flawed, in error here, at its basic methodological foundation, the method of coming up with this. These errors include misuse of both biblical and pagan texts, forced parallelism, and an artificial combination of myths. Artificial, never done before. Both of these scholars argue that the mythicist theories rely on speculative parallels. Now, what is that? It's like comparing Jesus and the 12 disciples to Zeus and the 12 gods. See? Has nothing to do with each other. Absolutely different things. There's no parallel there except an invented one where you come up with 12 gods for Zeus. And ignore the robust historical framework surrounding Jesus' life and influence. So let me just close with this thought. These views align closely with Dunkerley's. These new guys, they agree with him. His assessment that such theories are driven more by ideological bias than by sound historical reasoning. There is no historical basis on believing that Jesus never existed. It was just a wish that he didn't. We wouldn't have to deal with this whole Christian thing. See? So, we need to say to the people, I recognize what you're talking about. It's the mythology theory about Jesus. And there's no history to it. You have nothing to argue from. So shame on you for taking this as a life principle. See? It's just wrong. Now let's bow for prayer. Father, it is characteristic of this world that such a ridiculous claim actually now has a name of a movement. There are those who want to write and argue that Jesus never existed in the face of repeated historical evidence, both by the disciples who knew him and by those much later who recognized that he changed history, that he altered history, and that much was done as a result of his being here. We thank you, Father, that there are those who actually go into this study, find these documents, make us aware of them, and make them open to the people to read. And we ask that you might give us then the strength of knowledge that historically there is no argument that there was no Jesus. The only thing left is to say whether they will receive him as he revealed himself. We pray, Father, that you might take these notes, these ideas, these concepts, and help us to use them for your good, for the correction of those who have been told that Jesus was a myth. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.